Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, I make this announcement. The tomb is still empty. The tomb is still empty. There is no one on the cross. Might have you think about sometimes us wearing those pendants. But there's no one on the cross. The grave is empty. And death has lost its power. Jesus is alive and well. And this morning he sits at the right hand of the Father as a mediator to you and I. That spotless sacrifice of God still sits high and lifted up today. And the shouts of Hosanna that you and I shouted just a few moments ago, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, he reached the ears of the Almighty God and Savior in heaven. I believe it this morning. Today you won't find Christ anywhere upon the face of this earth. We heard about that this morning. Millions upon millions today are spending time at cemeteries in the world, mourning for their dead, mourning for people that have lived, even though they've lived good lives and exemplary lives, they are bowing their knees and tombs all over the world. But the tomb that we worship, not the tomb, but the whole idea and concept of the tomb, we don't worship that tomb because there's someone in it. We look at that tomb and find glory because we know that the one who was there is no longer there and will ever be again. Amen. You've heard it said before, the cross could not hold him. The grave could not stop him and death just wasn't enough. He got up. I said, Christ got up. He is risen. He is alive. Full of majesty, glory, and power. And aren't you glad that you serve a risen Savior? If we had no risen Savior, then our prayers would be in vain. If we had no risen Savior, our singing would be in vain. Our gathering today would be nothing more than a gathering of an elite group of people who like to just fellowship together for religious, imaginary purposes. But we're here because we've come to give glory to a God that is alive and well, to a Savior that is alive and well, and has changed our lives and taken us from sinners to saints. Does that make us perfect? Absolutely not. But I'm glad. I'm sure glad that there is blood on Calvary to cleanse us on a daily basis from all the mistakes we make in life. And the promise of heaven is still sure for all of us today. Can you say amen? I want to remind you this morning of a couple of things that a risen Savior can offer us and no one else. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and 13, it's a good portion of passage, if you will. and I'd like to read this for you as an opening platform for our conversation for the next few minutes. This is the very thing I've mentioned to you as I begin to speak to you this morning. 1 Corinthians 15 and 13. Paul writes and he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Then those all who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all men. He continues in his writing in verse 20, he said, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Indeed, that's a word of confidence. He's basically saying, make no mistake. Think no further. No discussion. Indeed, period. The Jesus we serve is alive and well. End of discussion. We don't have to search for anything. It has been declared. He is alive and well. Indeed, Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. Again, I say to you, I stand with Paul, and all of us should today, as we say, indeed, Christ has been raised from the dead. Had he not been raised from the dead, what have we then would have lost? We would have lost our entrance into heaven. We would have lost our access into the presence of the Lord in heaven. I hope you agree with me this morning when I say that all of humanity, every breathing individual, deny it or not, everyone has a desire for heaven. Unbelievers and believers all together, atheists and agnostics and humanists and scientists and pessimists and doubters and Satanists and whatever, everybody has a sense of finding eternal peace on the inside. Now, they may not call it heaven, but the desire for heaven is in their hearts. Everyone has a desire for peace. Everyone has a desire for the release of all the anguish and anxiety that this world has brought. The agnostic may call that place the great nothingness. The humanist may call it the place of personal freedom. The scientist may call it the place of great knowledge. And the pessimist may call it anywhere but here. But everyone desires heaven. Everyone desires that place. Why is it that people want to go to heaven? Everybody does. I've never met anyone who said, well, I can't hardly wait to go to hell. Some people may live like they're declaring that, but I've never verbally heard anybody say, I'm doing everything I can because I'm anxious in my heart to go and spend an endless eternity burning in hell. Not even, I believe, the most evil of people. Why? Because everyone inside innately desires that peace. Everyone wants that peace. Had Jesus not been resurrected, ladies and gentlemen, you and I would never have an opportunity to pursue or even think that there would be a place that you and I could find that peace in. Heaven would be inaccessible to us. Paradise, eternal rest, and joy would not be accessible to any one of us. It would have been impossible. The devil has been doing everything since the beginning of time to make that garden of peace that God created for man initially inaccessible to us. Because of the fall and the sin of men, there was an extraction that happened way back then. And because of disobedience, they were thrown out. But doesn't mean that men wanted to be thrown out. They were thrown out because of sin. And ever since that they left and made that exit, it does not mean that the innate desire to come back to that rest left us. Heaven. Re-entering that paradise is something everyone desires. The problem today is there are great arrogance against Christ. That men who are men of many resources have been doing everything over the years to try their own and make their own access door to heaven. They've tried to build towers. They've tried to build and design religions. They've tried to do so many things. They've worked. They've bribed. They've paid. They've lied. All in efforts to try to get themselves to heaven. People have tried religion and traditions throughout the years, creating things that might give them a key to enter into this place. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There's only one who holds the key to heaven. And his name is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus. The Bible says that 2,000 and plus years ago, there came someone whose arms were not too short, nor his legs too weak, nor his bravery too cowardice to go into the very pit of hell and regain the keys of that sanctuary place. And because he holds the keys to that peace, you and I can come to him, a resurrected king, and receive for ourselves access into eternal glory in the presence of the Lord. Without a resurrected king, without a resurrected Jesus, you and I could never live out our lives with purpose. We would never live out a life of hope. I've mentioned from this pulpit a time or two over the years that there are two kinds of people who inhabit the earth. There are those who have vision, who have purpose, who have a future, who wake up in the morning pursuing things in life that excite them and encourage them to press on. And then there are the other hopeless people who wake up in the morning with all the opposite, no reason to even wake up. But they walk amongst in this world today as living dead, if you will, with no purpose in life at all. There is no hope in them. You see, when Jesus came, he came to give us hope. He came to give us a new purpose in life. A great responsibility it is of ours to pursue God so that you and I can begin to live that purpose. It's easy to see someone who has no reason in this life. And as a matter of fact, they unfortunately sometimes fill the front pages of our newspapers. And where people have jumped out of buildings and taken their own lives. Why? Because in their minds and their hearts they had no purpose for living. And this is the very work of the devil, to come and convince people that there is no reason. Especially in this day today when we're seeing so much travail in our society. We don't even understand why all of this is happening. But we're in the midst of it. Look at our faces. Nobody signed up for this. Sometimes I've spoken to people that sense that frustration because they want to pull that mask off. They're tired. They want to go back to just a year and a half ago when we were free to do everything else, and they're frustrated. And this alone has taken their reason for living. And the devil is doing a wonderful work in the lives of people by bringing that hopelessness and that lack of purpose. We all know that the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. We don't have to lose purpose. We don't have to lose focus. There are people in this world who do nothing else but complain. Nothing is satisfactory to them. They've lost sight of who it was that saved them. They've lost sight of who it is, the one who has purpose for their lives. Let us never be those people. Let us keep our eyes on our risen Savior. Let us keep our eyes on our risen Jesus, who will keep you moving forward and never cause those hiccups that the devil wants to cause in your life to cause you to sit back and just simply want to rot away or be anguished and bitter all of your life. But to rejoice that today is the Lord that the Lord has made. And we are given the privilege by this risen Savior to rejoice and be glad in it. We have not been called to simply survive. Many have said we are not survivors, but we are called to be thrivers. You don't have to do this alone. We have a Jesus who already pre-planned your destiny and forward before you. And you'll find it in Jeremiah 29:11 when he said, I have a plan for you. And it's not that plan that people around you are telling you have. It's not what all this COVID thing is doing in your life. That's not the plan. It's not the plan what's going on in our government, in our country, and overseas, and all these things that are embittering our hearts. That's not where you find the plan. He said, I know the plan. He said, it's a plan to prosper you and bless you, give you a future of great hope and purpose. And that promise will only come from a risen, powerful, all-able Savior. Can you say amen? We also can escape the coming wrath because of this risen Savior. There was only one satisfying sacrifice that would ease the wrath of God against humanity's sin. Only one ransom that the Lord our Father in heaven would accept. People, it used to be in the days of old, they would offer lambs and goats and fatted calves and all these things, and the incense of that sacrifice would be risen up to the nose of God, and that was at that moment acceptable to him. But I don't know what it was that changed God's mind, but maybe he saw the sins of men getting uglier and uglier and uglier, that the blood of those little animal sacrifices wasn't enough. He said, we need something more powerful to deliver men from the wrath of the sin he lives in. To deliver a man from the sin he so easily runs to on a daily basis. And I can imagine, and forgive me for being imaginary for a moment, I could see Jesus slipping over to the Father when he was looking for that sacrifice. He says, Lord, let me go. Let me go. Am I acceptable? I'll be the acceptable sacrifice for them. And I can't imagine the heart of a father. I don't want to disrespect the thoughts of a holy, great God. But as a father here on earth, I can only imagine me hearing my daughter or my son-in-law or someone whom I love said, let me go and let me die for them. I can see myself embracing them and say, no, 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 no. And possibly even in my ugliness, as my flesh say, let them pay for their own. I'm not giving anything up. You are my son. But the Bible says it pleased the Father. And he allowed his son to come and lay his life and be risen on the cross on Calvary. And that was the only sacrifice. And today it is the only sacrifice that will cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Had Jesus not given his life and resurrected, you see, Paul said, you and I would still be in our sins. And the wages of sin, all of us should know, is death. Now, sometimes people wonder why people sin in this world and don't die, because it's a different kind of death that the scripture is speaking about. You see, there are two deaths. There are those who will die, and all of us will a time or two. We all have an uncheatable appointment with the grave. We will die in our flesh. But we shouldn't fear that one if you are a believer in Christ, because that is the death that has no power over us. We've heard it this morning. We were said to be absent in the body is to be present with God. So the moment that I stop breathing, do not cry for me, for I will be in the presence of the Lord. But then there is that second death that sin will cause upon the lives of a man, and that soul will indeed die. And what that means, it will be separated from God eternally. And without God, there is no life, for God is life. And he who knows life knows God. So why do people sin today and don't die in their flesh? Because they're not supposed to. The sad part is going to be that when they do leave this place physically, then the challenge is going to be, what will happen with our eternal soul on the second death? We will either be resurrected to be with the Father, just translated into his presence, or indeed the punishment of death will truly be ours. That is the gospel. That's not a partial gospel. That is a true gospel. You see, it is through Christ that we can escape that wrath. It is through Christ that you and I will no longer have to face judgment because of our sins. It is because of that resurrected Jesus that we serve that you and I will escape the true judgment and punishment that all of us should have. But Jesus will be standing as our mediator and said, Lord, not him. He, she, they trust and believe in me. Had it not been for a resurrected Savior. And finally this morning, what can we obtain from this risen Savior? Is once again coupled together with the point that I first made. We know that just like for Christ, the tomb was not his eternal resting place. You and I can profess with confidence that this world is not an eternal home. We have a place in glory forever. Can you say amen? This place is not an eternal resting place for us. I'm not staying here forever, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to, have at it. But I'm not. How many can say amen? How many can say I'm not staying? You can have this world. You can have everything. You can have our house, our cars, this building, whatever you want. You can have it all. This world is not my home. I'm merely passing by. We're not pitching our tents eternally here. We're not making a home base here. We're not claiming any kind of royalty, any kind of earthly royalty around us. We're just passing through. We are pilgrims passing through. Heaven is our destiny. The position of the church when Christ left, as they stood on the outskirts of Bethany, were all looking up. This is how the angel of the Lord found them, looking up because they saw Christ ascending to heaven. And the angel came to remind them, and I believe what he was telling them, it says, keep looking up. Because in the way you saw him coming, going, you're going to see him come to take you with him. Then see him escalate down. But he saw him rising to heaven. And the church, I believe today, instead of looking around and entertaining what the world is giving you to eat to discourage you from serving the Lord, you need to stop looking around and start looking up. Because when you start looking up, you'll start looking at perfection. You start looking at purpose. You start looking at blessing. You start looking at hope. You start looking at heaven. You start looking at healing, protection, and comfort and joy. You see, when you look across the plains of this earth, you see nothing else but pain and suffering. But when you look to heaven, you see the glory of God. All of these things are accessible to us today. Why? Because Jesus is alive and well. While the world travels to all these places around the world to see all these very lucrative cemeteries around the world, some people travel miles into South America to see the Mayan, the Aztec tombs. They go around the world to go find all these tombs where great men lay. There are people today who travel to Jerusalem, but not to see a tomb that is filled because of that person that lived or that lived and died in that place. I believe that all the people that go up there go to be reminded that that tomb is still empty. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, the platform, the unshakable rock of our faith. How many know that Jesus is alive and well? I said, how many believe that Jesus is alive and well? I believe he's alive and well. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, before I leave this pulpit, it's always important for me to ask anyone in this place. You might be here simply celebrating Easter because it's a holiday. But the vast majority of us are here to celebrate Easter because we're celebrating salvation. And we want to invite you this morning, as I ask the church to please bow your heads in reverence to the Lord. I want to ask anyone and everyone here if anyone would say yes to Jesus. And you would say, Pastor, I need this Savior that is risen for me. I need to give my life unto the Lord today. I don't want resurrection to be another holiday to me. I don't want this day of resurrection to simply be another day where we have extended weekends. But I want this day to mean something important to me. And I believe that salvation in heaven and the blessings of God are important. And therefore, I want this risen Savior in my life. If that's you, would you wave your hand at me right where you're at? I want to pray with you. Anybody in this place that would raise their hand? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else quickly that would say, I need Jesus in my life, Pastor. Please pray for me. Help me to pray that I would receive Christ this morning in my life. Anybody else quickly, please raise your hand. Could I ask those of you who raise your hand just to stand right where you're at? I want to pray with only because I want to be able to see you. Would you stand? Don't be afraid. If you raised your hand, please just stand. I want to pray with you right where you're at. Don't be embarrassed. Thank you. Anybody else quickly? It's not about you and me. It's not about you and this church. It's not about publicly making a spectacle out of you. It's about you declaring unto God, Jesus, I need you. Every single one of us in this place has stood up before God and said, Lord, we need you. Anybody else quickly? Hallelujah. Can I have an usher, please, to come and stand behind this sister and just stand with her? Angie, would you get somebody? Or Brother Cruz, yes, please come. Cantu, anybody, quickly, please come. We just want to encourage her. Anybody else before I leave this pulpit? Sister, as you stand there, I congratulate you today because your life will never be the same. The Jesus I've spoken about today is a Jesus that is going to walk with you every moment of your life. Your prayers will not go unanswered. Your voice will not go unheard. And the God that I know you believed in but never made a commitment to accept today becomes your personal Savior. If you'll just simply pray with me and say, Jesus, I come before you right now, giving you my life. I ask you, Savior, to forgive me of all of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Make me pure and acceptable unto you. Fill me with your Spirit and with the power to walk after you all the days of my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior today, my risen Savior forever, in whom I can trust. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, we thank you. Would the church rise, please? Would just church stand, please? Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for salvation in this house. To you is the glory and the power forever. I bless our sister today as she gives her heart to you. We pray that you would become more real into her life on a daily basis as she begins to read the word, as she begins to pray and seek you, Lord. Make yourself more real that she might see the promises that are so true for us all. And for the rest of us today, Father, I pray that we never lose sight of the importance of this day. This Resurrection Sunday, the day, Lord, that you finish the work. No arguments, no discussions, Lord. You said it is finished. That means it is done. No one can argue it, though many have. No one in any place or however intelligent, Father God, or whatever knowledge they may proclaim to have can never deny the fact that you are God and God alone. And in this house are a people who love you, who worship you and are here to give you all glory and praise. Be exalted, O Jesus. Be exalted, O King, this Resurrection Sunday. And the very same power, Father, that resurrected you from the dead, we receive into our lives today, raising us up, Lord, from the deadness of our sins into a righteous life with you. We love you and we give you all glory and all praise in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.